havoc in our economy, economy that was improving, and now we have people out there.
Good morning, Lee. And it is a good morning. Unexpected economic news.
Yeah. Well, unexpected for the financial media.
U.S. economy rebounds with 3% GDP growth. Exactly the amount we need to make 3% plus the big, beautiful bill fly with all of its spending without damage. U.S. economy rebounds with 3% GDP. That's economic. 3% economic growth after trade reversal. So let's recap what Joe Biden left us, shall we? We were at roughly -2, -3. They finally admitted a few weeks into the Trump administration. You remember how they did that? Oh, we're going at 4%, they said, when Joe Biden left office. Right. And they said, well, maybe it's 2.6. Well, maybe it's more like 1. Well, you know, maybe it's -2, -3, -4. We don't know. And they had the lower feds deliver that, right? In other words, Joe Biden left us in a recession is what he did. Well, we were supposed to have this recession. All the right people said so. And then all the right people said, oh my gosh, on top of the basically recession that we're headed into, because we had a quarter of negative growth, it looked like, at least coming out of Biden, looked like we were on track for that. We were, and tariffs were going to make it terrible. It was going to be awful. Well, guess who was wrong again? All the right people. They need to get some new talking heads on these business channels, Lee. Fox Business, even. I mean, they just got wasted here. Inflation-adjusted gross domestic product, which measures the values of goods and services produced in the U.S., increased at an annualized 3% rate after shrinking at 8.5% rate in the previous period. Yeah, we're still recovering from Joe Biden. Net exports added 5 percentage points to the GDP. Damn. Are you kidding me? You know, that means it's working.
Yep.
We are making goods, services, things, and people are buying them in other countries. This is what we need. Holy cow, I'm just reading this as we go. Unbelievable. So, this is fantastic. And you know what? I mean, let's not forget where we were back in April, way back in April.
Yeah.
Because remember, that was Liberation Day. It was the first week of April. And then the end was nigh, and they tried to talk the market down. Nobody listens to these buffoons. But I want to play where we were in April, okay? This is on all of what, you know, from liberal media to liberal business media. And I got to throw them in there, including Fox News. I mean, it was a funeral every day.
This is an economic Armageddon that's coming for the U.S. consumer and the economy.
You see all of his cabinet members, his other aides going on TV and you know, glorifying the tariff-mageddon we have just been through and are still going through.
President Trump shrugs as the stock market plunges and the dollar weakens amid warnings that his tariffs could throw the United States into a recession.
It was very clear that these tariffs are going to be passed on to American consumers and are going to slow down the economy.
The best hope for our economy is that there will be enough damage to markets quickly that the administration is led to correct.
They have created havoc in our economy, economy that was improving, and now we have people out there scared to death.
How'd that work out? What, are they just going to bury that mess in their archives and pretend they never said any of it?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Well, how embarrassing.
Somehow I think you'll keep reminding them of that, though.
No, I would. I never miss a chance.
Yes, exactly.
Again, my favorite was, I should have screenshotted it that day on Drudge, that they said that, worst performing stock market month since the Great Depression. And it was locked in. The month wasn't over yet, but they knew what was coming, and it was going to be the worst month since the Great Depression. And we hit two all-time highs in the market since then. Anyway, Donald Trump is right on it, as you can imagine. Just posting on Truth Social, second quarter GDP just out 3%. Growth way better than expected. Too late, which is his name for Jerome Powell. Too late, Powell must now lower the rate. No inflation. Let people buy and refinance their homes. What do you think Powell's going to do? You're going to hold out hope that Tariffmageddon will arrive? As he, you know, predicted. This is the same moron, by the way, who said, don't worry, I'll never forget this, when inflation ticked up to 4%, don't worry, it's only transitory, and also Putin caused it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did try to blame Putin, too.
Yeah, yeah. And wait, it's only transitory. Putin behaving badly is what causes inflation. And don't worry, no, Joe Biden can totally spend, another $1 trillion a quarter. That won't affect us at all, just because we're at 4.5% inflation. Doesn't mean we're going higher if we keep printing money. No, yeah, you see, on Putin, it's transitory, said Powell. How'd that work out? Inflation doubled, went to 9%. Total utter disaster. So Powell's record is one of being like dead wrong, essentially. But he thinks he knows better than Trump. And the arrogance of this man, when the presidential administration that Lee now has proven its economic policies not only work, but work fast. When you're somewhere between negative growth right at the end of Biden's presidency and like 0.5%, not 5, but 0.5%, and you say we're going to have Tariffmageddon and you base your interest rate policy on that, and then you're wrong, like you've been wrong for years, and the president has kindly invited you to leave, and you think you have a right to hang out after that? How embarrassing for him. He should hang his head in shame. I mean, it's rude as hell to just, when the president asks you nicely, can you please leave? I know your term's not up, but I'm asking you to leave so I can carry out my agenda, and you don't. That's one thing. But when you're dead wrong about his economic policies, I mean, dead wrong. Where's the inflation that he predicted? Nowhere. Where's the stagnating growth? Nowhere. Bye-bye. Go away. But he won't. So let's see if he raises rates. I can't wait to see if he does. I mean, lowers rates. I can't wait to see what his reason is if he doesn't, Lee.
Yeah.
What's he going to come up with now? Hold out hope for Tariffmageddon. Is he going to be the last one in a sinking ship?
Well, at least it's not the economy that's doing the sinking.
Oh, thank God. So this, all of this is great. Robert Borton's tweets, 3% GDP killed woke. Now we aren't broke. No, this is great. So again, the financial media completely, I gotta wonder, you know, when are they going to go the way of Colbert? You know what I mean? Like at some point, yeah. If you're still watching them, including Fox Business, my question to you will be why? Like, why are you doing that? Unless you just want to see what lies they're telling, so you could factor that in to your, you know, business and investment plans. I mean, that might be a legitimate reason to watch them, I guess. I don't know.
Just watch them and do exactly the opposite of what they advise you to do. So
truly, you would have killed it. And you know what's so interesting about that? Again, the American people, no matter what their education level, are so much smarter than these buffoons. Because remember what they tried to do? They tried to talk down the market. I will never forget this. They tried to talk down the market and with scare tactics, and it didn't work. And remember Scott Bessent pointing out 97% of regular mom and pop investors, 401k people, who had stocks at the beginning of the year when Trump took office, did not sell them, no matter what the mainstream media and the mainstream financial media said. And that was it was a Vanguard stat, and Bessent saw it.
The Vanguard, one of the largest money management firms in America, said that over the past 100 days, 97% of Americans haven't done a trade. And in fact, individual investors have held tight while institutional investors have panicked. So individual investors trust investors trust President Trump.
Megan. Yeah, 97%.
Yeah.
Already knew not to listen to these people. So it's only confirmed. You know what they ought to do? There's big financial accounts on X that are very, very good. They've got bigger audiences than some of these shows do. Just Go get some of those people and put them on the television. Ask them what's going on. The people who didn't freak out over this stuff. So all great. And then on top of it, coming up in the next segment, I'm going to get into what Trump actually did in this EU trade deal because it's revolutionary. I mean, this is the blueprint for all of the rest of the trade deals. And when you have that aha moment, you're like, wow, this is really going to translate. I'll explain coming up next. We got 3% growth. Hey, that's great. Wasn't supposed to happen. No, it was going to be a tariff. Mageddon. Total disaster and was not. It was over economically. All the right people said so. Have you noticed how these experts they trot out are always wrong? Like, always. Like, you'd think they'd get it right every once in a while, but no. Where Trump's concerned, they never get it right, ever. Which makes you wonder about these experts. If it's the reason they've been chosen to, you know, tell you how everything's going to go is not because they actually know, but because they hew to a certain party line. They're not really experts at all. They don't deserve to be listened to. 3% growth. Folks, we were supposed to be in a recession. Don't forget that. Because of Trump's tariffs. Oh, and inflation too. Who told you tariffs don't cause inflation? That is Econ 101, first year of college. Tariffs don't cause inflation. Tariffs might cause prices to go up. They could go up. That probably happened in some cases. Only one thing causes inflation. And I've been telling you this for months. And that is the printing of money. When you print money, you have more money and each individual dollar is worth less. It's a very simple concept. It is the only way you can get inflation. There is no other way to get there. You set out and said, I'm going to cause some inflation. You could not do it with tariffs. Inflation and price increases are two different things. But the media knows that people don't like the word inflation now because after living through Bidenflation, it was so negative that they have a negative reaction to it. So they use the word inflation. You cannot get inflation from tariffs. You cannot do it. It is impossible. You get price increases, but that's a different thing. That's not the debasement of your currency. And so that's how I was able to say, no how, no way are we getting inflation from the tariffs. And, you know, I'd say it's a shame because when you have a, Jerome Powell, Federal Reserve Chair, so stupid as to pretend that you can actually get inflation from tariffs. And me, I don't even have an Ivy League degree. I took 1 year of econ as my freshman year. Got an A. But that's it. And I can tell you, these are simple concepts. It's just so incredibly frustrating. But you know what the good news is? Trump won, they lost. But what people don't realize is what Trump just actually did. Because it's so revolutionary. He is forcibly creating a market for American energy while unleashing American energy. And that's what's so remarkable about what he's doing. He's cutting Russia out. So look at everything that's going on right now. Okay, so Trump says, okay, got to cut a deal, Ukraine war, 50 days. Okay, you know what? I'm going to 10. Forget it. We'll use secondary tariffs, by the way, on anybody who buys the Russian oil. We'll use secondary tariffs on anybody who buys the Russian natural gas. What secondary tariffs? Oh, well, hey, I'll cut a trade deal with you, Europe, since they're the ones who were buying the, in the past, the Russian natural gas. I'll cut a deal with you. How about this? We cut a trade deal. You buy our energy. You're not going to want to buy it from Russia anyway, since they're going to be suffering from secondary tariffs. You know what's coming next? You know who's going to start buying our energy? Just wait. It's going to be hilarious. I'm going to die laughing. It's going to be India. India's been backdoor buying the energy from Russia and supporting the Ukraine war. That's coming. Trump's just still negotiating that. What does that do? That creates a guaranteed market for American energy. Then look what else Trump is doing today. It's brilliant. They are drop kicking the Obama era rules saying that greenhouse gases are a problem, do damage to the world. Why? Well, that gets rid of all of the regulations. What are we just watching them do? Open up Alaska, open up the drilling, expedite the permits, open the first coal mine in 29 years, open the first rare earth minerals mine in 70 years, find customers for it, force them to buy it in trade deals, back those trade deals with an escalating tariff. It's brilliant. You know how much Trump wrecked Europe? I mean, look at these headlines. I love these headlines. Headline: France Prime Minister denounces US-EU trade deal as submission. This is the best. The French Prime Minister, François Bayrou, is criticizing the trade deal struck by President Trump and European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen as an act of submission by the European Union to the United States. You bet. You bet. Of course it was. They got no choice. They're staring down a 30% tariff and they're on the verge of recession. What do you think they're going to do? It's fantastic. And they won't explain this to you, what he's just done. Well, you know, in terms of that. Okay. So Europe agrees to spend $1.4 trillion with America over the next 3 years, right? Including $750 billion in American energy purchases. What is Trump doing? He is guaranteeing a purchaser for the energy. Remember when he said to Germany, oh, hey, Germany, hey, maybe it's not a good idea to be, you know, relying on Russia for your natural gas since they keep cutting it off? Hey, why don't you buy for us? Do you remember in that audio clip how they laughed at him? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll be buying our energy now. $750 billion. Now, what happens if they don't? I keep having people ask me that on the text line. What if they don't and don't and don't? Well, then they go right back up to 30% tariff. There's teeth this time. Trump originally threatened 30%, then escalated to 50%. Europe just bought down the tariff rate with an unprecedented investment commitment. In what? Energy. So on the one hand, you see him, because he's got to go fast now, getting rid of the climate era carbon, you know, finding that gives the EPA the ability to regulate all of his stuff. So it's like the EPA has been running around doing everything from tailpipe emissions to your air conditioner, which should cost about half of what Americans have been paying. A lot of it's just regulatory. To the permitting process for natural gas, coal, and all of these energy sources, all of it just got gutted. Why? Because we're going to need to make a ton of it if we're going to force countries to buy it from us. And then the strategic masterstroke of the European tariffs and then the European trade deal, sectors getting complete exemptions from tariffs. Aircraft and components, semiconductor equipment, critical chemicals, some agricultural products. They're not random. They're strategic supply chains. Trump is rebuilding the supply chain away from China. It's brilliant. And creating great guaranteed customers for American energy imports. Exports, excuse me. So he just forced Europe to make a massive investment in U.S. infrastructure, defense, and energy. And that's the framework, a framework that Carl Mader writes this morning that other countries are now desperate to replicate. The speed is shocking, he says. Just months ago, we were staring at a potential trade warfare. European companies face supply chain chaos. Markets were in panic mode. Now, both sides have predictable framework they can plan around. This creates a new template for international relations. Instead of traditional diplomacy, Trump is using commercial diplomacy. Countries can now negotiate lower tariffs by making massive investment pledges, but pledges backed by the teeth of, if you don't meet it, we go back to the 30% tariff rate. So they're going to actually have to buy the energy. They're going to actually have to invest. Japan already proves this work. They took the same deal, $550 billion, got them the same 15% rate. This is incredible. And all of it with 3% growth. None of this was supposed to happen, folks. I can't tell you how big of a deal this is, folks. We are supposed to be in a recession right now. I mean, all the right people said so. Even Jamie Dimon, head of J.P. Morgan Chase, right? I mean, it was settled science we were going to have this recession. It was going to be because of the tariffs. It was going to be total disaster. And, oh, the trade war was starting with Europe. We wouldn't survive it. I mean, it was going to be the worst month on record since the Great Depression. I heard that on CNBC, so it must be true. They put it in an article. I wonder if they buried it. Now, I'd take that right out of my archives. I'd be so embarrassed. That's just me. Meanwhile, the press looks very different on the other side of the ocean. Very different. With the French prime minister screaming and yelling, and I think this is hilarious, with the French prime minister screaming and yelling that what has just happened here is the humiliation of Europe, the total submission to Donald Trump. Want to hear what that sounds like? Folks, this is our media grumbling begrudgingly, and Trump's got the best of them again. This is Trump's EU victory, just a wrap-up of how dominant this trade deal was.
The early reviews are in on the new trade deal announced with the European Union. The Financial Times says the deal marks a victory for Trump.
Is this a fantastic deal then struck by Donald Trump?
Absolutely a victory on behalf of the Trump administration.
Isabel, the bottom line is this is the biggest trade deal in President Trump's effort to effectively reshape the global trading order.
On this deal, the European Union, this is a big win for the U.S.,
The bigger picture is that Trump is still very much pursuing his longer-term goal of achieving what he perceives to be fairness for America.
It's a triumph of a lot of things. Certainly, the president ought to take a victory lap. I think it ends up being good for the European Union. It's a blow against the conventional wisdom.
Blow against the conventional wisdom. You bet it is. Oh my gosh, this is incredible what we're seeing right now. I mean, it just makes me so hopeful for the future. If you want to understand what Trump just did in the EU, you have to talk to a real economist, not a fake one. A kind of guy who will never get a gig on Fox Business or CNBC or CNN Business or with Bloomberg. It's never going to happen because he's right. He's right. And unless you're a pro-Democrat partisan hack, whose job is to mislead people, people like Peter St. Ange, never going to get a job on these mainstream media stations. But you can find him on X, where you can find out what's actually happening. Here's Peter St. Ange on how Trump steamrolled Europe, which everybody now agrees from CNN Business to CNBC is pretty much what happened.
Europe just got, quote, eaten for breakfast by Donald Trump in a shockingly one-sided trade deal that has European officials and journalists crying in their tax-funded cognacs. French officials described it as a, quote, dark day, an act of submission. The Financial Times of London called it a, quote, steamroller. One European CEO mumbled, I'm embarrassed to be European today. Bloomberg called it, quote, brutal, adding that the European Union needs some serious soul-searching how it got so weak. So first, what's in the deal? In short, 15% tariffs on almost everything Europe sends to us, 0% tariffs on almost everything we sell them, and a commitment by Europe to buy $750 billion of American energy, to invest $600 billion into the American economy, and commitments to buy, quote, hundreds of billions of dollars in U.S. military equipment. Buy, not gifts. The energy alone would triple American energy to almost two-thirds of Europe's energy imports,
dang,
replacing the Middle East and, of course, gray market imports from Russia. In fact, it's so much energy that American gas companies are scrambling to build the extra capacity. Meanwhile, the $600 billion investment would roughly double European investment in the U.S., and targets will be energy, defense, and industrial production. In other words, stuff Europe used to be good at. In both cases, if Europe drags their feet, tariffs pop back to 30%. So the background is 3 weeks ago, Trump sent the EU a so-called tariff letter threatening that unless they cut a deal by August 1st, tariffs will go to 30%. Europe blinked. Why? Because Europe exports nearly $600 billion a year to the U.S., taking just half in return, meaning roughly 5 million jobs were at risk in Europe, concentrated in their manufacturing powerhouse Germany, which is already shrinking going on 2 years thanks to green energy and environmental regulation. Now, given Europe's economy has been flirting with recession since COVID, 5 million would almost certainly cost Europe's left-wing leaders their jobs, likely replaced by nationalists who want to deport the criminals who are the future of Europe's left. The larger issue is how Europe got so fragile that they can't say no to a gangster-level trade deal. Nice economy you got here. In short, Europe's socialists gutted their own economy. One study from Morgan Stanley estimates almost half of the innovative companies driving global economic growth are in the U.S. Europe has just 10%. Germany's GDP per capita is lower than West Virginia. France is lower than Mississippi. Portugal and Greece are poorer than Puerto Rico. Europe is quickly turning into Mexico with Soviet speech laws and more riots. So as sex brought to...
Yeah. So that's essentially what's going on. He looks at Europe. He sees, wow, they're on the verge of a recession. How about I hit him with... 30% tariff. They don't behave. He jacks it to 50. They go, wait, let's negotiate. He goes, okay, we'll go back down to 30. How much longer can you go without going into a recession? And he says, you know what? How about I cut you a great deal? You go ahead and cut us a check for 15% tariff. Oh, and by the way, all of that energy you're buying from Russia, yeah, it's not going to happen anymore. You're going to go ahead and buy American energy instead, increasing by 2/3 the amount that you currently use. And that's got, you know, natural gas manufacturers here scrambling to find ways to even get it to them. And he locks it in a trade deal that guarantees the 15% tariff revenue. They got to buy all our stuff, including beautifully stuff they used to make well. Planes, semiconductors, military equipment, they got to buy it from us now. If they don't, they go back to the 30% tariff. Why is Trump setting it that way? Because the Democrats seeing this and that this benefits America, if they get power again, they're going to try to dismantle this. And he's making it really hard. Well, if you dismantle this, you're going to lose the 15% tariff revenue. Democrats love money to give to their friends, you know, Stacey Abrams, everybody they give it to. So he's setting this up in a way that Democrats have to hurt themselves to undo it later. So that hopefully they won't cut off the energy supply again. Again, folks, remember this. What was the number one growth category month after month after month after month, 100% of the months in the Trump administration last time? Number one economic category of growth, not tech, is mining and minerals, which includes oil, natural gas, coal, and rare earth minerals. And not rare ones, too. That's what drives our economy. That's why Democrats want to gut it. It's why they beeline for it. And Trump is reviving it, finding new customers, and forcing them into long-term deals, buying our stuff with the threat, the Damocles sword of tariffs hanging over their heads. It's awesome. Other shoe just dropped, folks. I try not to do a whole hour on economics. I really do, but I'm so excited right now. I'm beside myself. Here's the other shoe. It's so funny because I literally just said this in the last segment. I hadn't even seen this, and I told you where he's going to India next. And here it is. Boom, just broke. I just found it over the break. Oh my gosh, I knew because this is what I would do. Now that I understand what he's doing, it's not what I would have done before, but nobody's ever thought like Trump before. At least not in this level of position of power. Maybe Pat Buchanan did. Maybe Ross Perot did, but that's about it. Breaking. President Trump is officially levying, this feels so good, a 25% tariff on India. Fantastic. Plus a penalty on August 1st. India does not see this coming. He has had a burn on for India for about a month now. Those bastards actually had the unmitigated gall the first week of July to participate in a BRICS forum with China and Russia to devalue our currency, to as part of their currency war, as part of BRICS. Who do they think they are? I mean, we just transferred. Remember, Trump pressured Apple to transfer the production of all of their phones because just technology, it's too dangerous to have it in China, from China to India. And what do they do? What is their thank you? It was to screw you. They go huddle with Russia in China to continue devaluing our currency. Think we're going to take all their HB1 engineers working for half what Americans do? That's the next shoe that needs to drop. We got to stop with these visas. This country is not our friend. We need to make them our friend. We did it with the handshake way. It didn't work. Now we need to bring them to their knees. I am sick of India. They're very sleeper cell economically. Trump scorched India in a Truth Social post he just put up for being a large buyer of Russian oil and equipment at a time when everyone wants Russia to stop the killing in Ukraine. While India is our friend, we have over the years done relatively little business with them because their tariffs are too high, among the highest in the world, and they have the most strenuous and obnoxious non-monetary trade barriers of any country. So see what's going on there? He just bent Europe to his will. You know what he's going to do? He's going to force India to buy our energy. Or else. Oh, guess what? We buy more of their stuff than anybody else. Good luck. This is going to be so much fun. They're going to have to kiss the ring. And they will. Trust me.